You are watching the Mighty beIN Sports, joining up the world from our international broadcast centre here in Qatar. I'm Richard Keys.
I'm Andy Gray.
We are live on Twitter. And if, and it wouldn't surprise me if you felt that way, there's something you want to see again during the course of what's going to be a very good programme, there is now a podcast available that you can download later in the day through Apple or Google.
Okay. I'm getting up to speed with all that now.
Coming up on our programme, something that Andy and I have been talking about for a long, long time now, a concussion. Fabian Schär, dereliction of duty, it was described when he was left on a football pitch during the international break. It was the second, Andy, of two big incidents. Yeah. David Ospina playing for Napoli?
Yeah, Napoli.
Prior to the break, also was left on a football pitch and serious questions followed. We shall be discussing later. Mm. When will football understand this is and could yet be, and I'm serious, a life or death matter, and it has to be taken far more seriously than it currently is. Congratulations, of course, to the new manager of Manchester United, who took charge yesterday with a warning for his staff.
The players who get complacent, they never last at this club anyway. Managers, I'm the same. I can't be complacent and now rest on, well, I've got a job. That's not me. We're looking forward. We've got to work harder. I've got some targets. I would want a Man United team that's one of the hardest working teams in the league.
Mm. They always were.
Yes, in fairness.
And so most of the top teams, if you look at any of the top five or six teams, Richard, you'll always find out one thing you can't criticise them on, if they're the elite, is what...
But that's not the only thing they've got, is it? They've also got talent and quality, because it's generally the case that the teams running the farthest are those looking to avoid relegation in the Premier League.
Yeah, that can be true. You know, but they have got the talent. They've got bucket loads of talent in that squad. Now he's got to, having gone in there, they always say the honeymoon is over. He's been given the job. Now we will really see, I think, not this season. I think he'll get away with this season. I'm very, very interested to see what next season brings for Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
And the reaction, we'll be discussing more with John Cross, chief football writer of the Daily Mirror, later. Now, when people have something to say, these days they tend to say it first to beIN Sports. In an exclusive from this organisation, Cesc Fabregas has been talking for the first time since joining Monaco about me.
I believe I can see something in Mbappé. Similar, you know, in the early stages that we are, he's got the personality, you know, sometimes even the arrogance, you know, to have a go at everyone, at any defender, you know, to try new things. He's not afraid, so that's already a fantastic thing to have.
Do you know what? He summed you up perfectly there as a footballer.
When I first heard that,
I thought he was talking about Kylian Mbappé, but was you?
No. Well, actually it was, but when I first heard that, I was slightly confused. Yeah. I did think it was me that he was discussing.
Yeah.
big fan of Kylian Mbappe more later. And congratulations to Michael Johnson and Guyana, who are going to the Gold Cup. This is a story we brought you, 4 weeks ago? Guyana, new Qatar, we're calling them.
Yeah.
They've discovered gas and oil aplenty. To go with it, success on the football pitch, and they are going to the Gold Cup. Derby County tweeting this week after Michael Johnson, their manager, as you can see, and ambassador at Derby, had done what he said he would do here on this programme, and we will follow up talking with Michael later in the programme as
Top class.
And in case you'd forgotten, this is what we did 2 weeks ago. 32 or 48...
It's not going away.
That's for the World Cup in Qatar in 2022.
Well, it seems that I think at this meeting that there will be approval to go ahead over the next month or so to come up with this detailed feasibility study into the viability of using at least one other country in the region.
Football's dirty war. Mm. We were discussing this last week.
Yes.
Footy Leaks. Well, Mark Goddard, who was in charge of FIFA's transfer matching system until recently, has this week gone public and said, well, FIFA have known about this for a long time. We've never had any problem with it.
We certainly balanced, what was being revealed with how it was being obtained to the best of our extent to determine. It certainly was informative documentation that we took a close look at.
Rob Allen, the captain of Dad's United, all of whom have been touched by tragedy in their lives, the loss of a child, have come together and are finding solace and comfort in each other's story, which is terrific.
Would you expect more areas of the country to adopt this? I was going to say philosophy, not really philosophy, but adopt what you're trying to do.
There's one over in Northern Ireland just popped up as well. There's one in Southampton, Brighton. So it's something that was obviously needed and was very much missing. And I think that from seeing what we've done and seeing that we're comfortable to talk about our experiences, more people are now feeling confident enough to be able to do that themselves, which is great.
And stories that caught our eye and we've kept an eye on. It's good to see the British press following Keys and Grey, Andy. That's Andy Holt.
Yes.
Chairman and owner of Accrington Stanley, who we were discussing that very subject with about 2 weeks before the exclusive with Jack Gawn turned up in the mail. That rumbles on.
Hanging on, aren't they?
Last time we discussed this, we were told that there would be a takeover completed by the middle of the following week. Didn't happen.
Do you fear for them?
I do fear for, I genuinely fear for them, yes. I can't see a takeover being put together that quickly, or anyone coming up, Andy, with the money it will take to not just keep them afloat, but to progress from this point.
I'm staggered. Well, what beautiful stadium they've got, state of the art, modern.
Another rather darker and more concerning subject. This is something we've discussed often. Barry Bunnell, former coach at Manchester City, and Kerr Alexander, now serving time for sexual abuse of boys in his charge. Crewe Alexandra's defence was that, you know, we didn't know anything about boys staying over at Barry's house. Well, this is a page from an expense claim that he put into the club, Andy, during his time there, which suggests very differently. Schoolboys on trial and boys staying over because of a couple of games together, £5 per night, paid out by Crewe Alexandra, whose defence that we knew nothing, Gov, would appear not to stand up.
That would appear not, actually. No. That's not good.
I am with, and we will discuss this more with John Cross later, and I'll perhaps pass a more embracing opinion about this article, but I have to say I'm with Ibra. I think the circle of Ferguson requires to be broken at Manchester United, and somebody needs to make their own history. Two have tried, Van Gaal and Jose Mourinho, of course. Moisey, I think, was following. I think Moisey would have stayed within the circle of Ferguson given time.
You think so?
I do. But you know, the big man's right. It's time for somebody else to make a statement.
We're going to find out, because they're staying within the circle of Ferguson with the appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as a full-time
manager. This did rattle
the
cage of one or two of the class of 92, not least the manager of Wales, who fired back at the Ibrahimovic jibes. I mean, that's headline speak, probably nothing that Ryan said. But he did go on to say this. We're supporters of the club. This is the class of 92, of course, together with other ex-players who are on TV or radio. And that's what football's about. Different opinions. But obviously he knows more about the club than us. No, Ryan. He's not saying that. He's won every bit as much and more as you have. But if it's about opinions, Ibra had one, and he's entitled to it.
I think Ibrahimovic is pretty much entitled to an opinion about somewhere he's been. It's not like he hasn't been to United and he hasn't been there. I know he was only a short time, but he's entitled to his opinions. But I always remember years ago when Liverpool, that great Liverpool side, started to crumble at the beginning of the Premier League, Richard, and every manager that went in there said his biggest opponent were the ex-players, the successful ex-players. I think they're finding that at Manchester United. Some of the coaches who have gone in there are finding that winning over the ex-players who were successful there is a pretty big job.
One of those, of course, Louis van Gaal, who's been talking this week, saying Solskjaer uses the same part of the bus tactics as Jose. If he does, Louis, I can think of another manager post-Ferguson that did as well. this is a story we've been talking about here on Keys and Grey for quite some time. I did say to you, next time we're back here, Andy, Birmingham could very well have been docked points. Between 9 and 12, it was thought. It is 9, and these are for financial irregularities. Other clubs have suffered. QPR, Bournemouth, who thought it was worthwhile overspending to get a place back in the Premier League. Wolves. But there are others, and Sam Wallace here, a very good article in the Telegraph, saying Birmingham are not the only idiots in the Championship chasing fool's gold. There'll be others. Because the Premier League is the place to play,
well, of course
isn't it? It's the place to be. There are others who are quite happy to finish 7th and 8th every season, maybe take a playoff place, but fail.
Maybe. No, there's others wanting the holy grail of what's called
Gary
the Premier
Monk
League.
But Gary Monk is also right okay, we'll take our punishment on the chin, but you have to treat everybody else the same.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, this is what it means. You know, from where they were, they're now fighting a relegation battle. But nothing to do with Ari, of course. Birmingham City.
There's been a few bosses in that have been targeted.
Pointing the finger at, and Gianfranco got a little rap from them as well. But his knees don't look too bad there, do they?
Harry's.
Remember that was the reason he had to leave QPR's.
His knees were knackered. Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of bad decisions made at that club at a certain amount of time there. And all of them were culpable that were there.
Not a good week. Fortnight for Scotland.
No, it was didn't start well, did it? Week.
Mankini's three kilts.
No, I don't like it. That's not very funny.
That was a great headline.
No, it wasn't.
What happened wasn't funny.
No.
But the headline, in fairness to the Daily Mirror, Mankini's three kilts nil, was funny. But what Gordon Strachan, Big X predecessor, is saying, until we, at the domestic level, start producing players again,
100%, he's right.
We will continue to be to blame. And it doesn't matter who's doing the job. I had a go.
Yes.
Got us close. He's having a go. And struggling.
The trouble, the talent pool's not there. And it doesn't seem, and I'm not sure what the 16s, the 18s, 21s are like, because I've not seen enough of them. But the talent pool, compared to the likes of when these guys were playing and I was playing, is a fraction.
See, talk to Eck, and I did this week, and he'll tell you Malky Mackay, who's in charge of all things football in Scotland, doing a really good job in terms of the influence he can have. But it is, at the end of the day, something that club football has to address. And start producing players again.
Scotland need to do something drastic. Really do need to do something drastic. Even if it meant, honestly, Richard, even if it meant saying, I don't know if they can, if legally they'd be allowed to, even if it meant saying that in all Premier League teams in Scotland, the Premiership teams in Scotland, you have to play so many
Scots. I
just think Scotland needs to do something like that to try and promote its youth and its future.
Upcoming, of course, big Champions League game between Barcelona and Manchester United. They've both fallen out over ticket prices. European club football this week have said, we're going to take a closer look at this and make sure there is a standard price for tickets in Champions League games.
Well, looking after
not
fans.
Before
that's
time.
A good idea. Look after fans, that's a good idea. That's excellent.
Yeah, but this I suspect we're going to see more from, Andy, as well. The bank in England that finances a lot of individual purchases for season tickets and club. See, this is where Leeds got into trouble many years ago, borrowing season ticket money 2 and 3 years ahead of themselves.
And Rangers, I think, in Scotland.
Well, then found themselves struggling and couldn't repay. But the bank that has funded a lot of this has gone bust.
Collapsed.
And this I wanted your opinion on.
Yes.
Rinus Michels, named as the greatest manager of all time by France Football. Fergie in second place ahead of both Cruyff and Pep Guardiola. What do you think?
Listen, I didn't know Rinus Michels an awful lot. I know of his reputation, the man who was given the accolade of creating total football.
Yes, he gave us Van Gaal, in fairness. And you know, having had just a little aside at Louis, top coach in his time, gave us Cruyff. Gave us total football, gave us Dutch football.
He gave us total football, that was a nice name, but honestly, every time I look at him...
The greatest ever?
Oh, come on.
Two European Cups?
Well, come on. Aberdeen?
Two
what
European
he did with Aberdeen?
Cups?
But you don't realise what he did with Aberdeen.
I do.
Honestly, because modern people look at Scottish football now and say, oh, it's rubbish now, it's hopeless now. There's no great talent there, there's no great competition. When he was batting against Rangers and Celtic, that was when Rangers and Celtic were.
For me, I've always said the greatest British manager of all time, and then you've got to take into consideration Reevey, Shankly, Clough, Paisley.
How many Champions Leagues? One? Ajax?
Yeah.
One European Championship?
Well, they won
Dutch.
It three times in a row, didn't they?
I don't think he was there, though. I think he won it once and was a runner-up once. European Championships in the Netherlands, this
but
the is the trophy he's holding
he
there.
Sowed and that he laid.
But when you're talking about the greatest coaches, to do what he did at Aberdeen.
See, I think if you're talking
and then
where
he
modern
took Manchester
day,
United from. Wow. Anyway, listen, look at the four of them. Wow.
I think Ancelotti has got a very good argument to be right amongst
Carlos
them. If anyone knows
right
how to win the
there.
Champions League, he does.
Yeah, every right. But listen, for me, it would always be Fergie, I have to say. Would always be.
Greatest manager of all time.
Yeah, why not?
Clough? Shankly?
Yeah.
Paisley?
I mean,
Reevey? Steen?
How many Premier League titles did he win?
Well, yes, he did. Modern day, I said. But
two Champions Leagues.
Anyway.
What he did with Aberdeen, batted Rangers Celtic out the way.
See, it starts a debate.
No, it's... Sorry.
This is something I think we're going to hear more from. Ralph Hasenhüttl brought this to our attention.
Good.
After a Football League player revealed
100%.
Lengthy gaming sessions were threatening to ruin his career. Not just his career, his life. But this is something modern-day players do an awful lot. He's saying, Ralph, when he was working in Germany, he had the Wi-Fi turned off in the hotels.
Well, quite right. He's right about that.
Yeah, it's not going to stop you. 4G, hold on,
but,
3G.
But it does. They do play games until 3 in the morning, the lads. It can't be right for them. It can't be good for them.
Well, sorry, they still gamble, well, not to the same degree as they once did, but they still gamble with cards on coaches.
No, not to the same degree. No. It's plain friendly now. Just
is
friendly
it really?
Game. Yeah.
When
there's
tens
no,
of thousands
there's
change
no money
hands,
involved. No,
how
no.
do you get off a coach feeling good when you've just lost
no,
£20,000 on
that.
The way to a game?
100% you shouldn't allow that. But that is a major, that is a problem. That's a modern day problem.
Mm.
It really is a modern day problem for footballers. They just love all this. And their brains are going and they're active with all these flashing lights.
Love this. Around. Great picture. Top boy. Oh, sorry. Finally, by the way, everybody's accepting that this did cost £1 billion,
yes,
as we've
did.
Been saying. But rest easy in our part of the world. Tottenham's first game in the stadium will not be on British television, but it will be with us here on Be In Sports.
Mm. Yeah.
And this I loved.
Yeah.
Liverpool's top man on holiday. You will never walk alone. Penny for your thoughts.
Well, he is there on the beach, very yeah. much alone.
Oh, here to the right, Mourinho targets a June return.
Ah.
Jose has been talking to Be In Sports again, which led L'Equipe in France to jump on what he'd been saying. Would he? Dare he?
Ligue 1.
He's saying I'll be back by June.
Well, there's only one.
There is.
Team in Ligue 1.
There is, and they've just extended Tuchel's contract.
Yeah, Tuchel's contract to what, 2021?
Yeah.
So, I can't see him being Ligue 1.
See,
no
I still think top six, no.
Right.
If Pochettino had left Tottenham, I said to you, maybe, maybe. But one just outside in England?
Everton.
Got a manager, but...
Well, you shouldn't change that. I didn't really mean that, Mark, sorry.
Fixtures this weekend, live on our beIN Sports channels in the Middle East and North Africa, and of course Indonesia. All these games, John Arnarisa and John Collins,
yeah,
our
nice.
Guests, Great. For a fabulous weekend of domestic football. It's back. And when I say domestic, I mean Italian,
Spanish,
French, German.
Oh, by the way,
Spanish,
we'll also
French,
include the Old Firm game.
Of course, which we
on
will
Sunday.
Be covering here on Sunday.
We should be doing
Let's
live.
Not forget about that.
No.
Love this, by the way. Do you remember Robbie... Do you remember Robbie Fowler at Arsenal going over David Seaman?
Yes.
Getting up and going... No penalty. Fine. He won
right.
awards for sportsmanship. I didn't have a problem with that.
Right.
I always have, and I've discussed it with him here when he's been our guest. If he really felt that he'd conned the ref and it shouldn't have been a penalty, he should have tucked it wide, shouldn't he? Instead, Seaman saved his pen and McAteer followed up the score.
Well,
here's an example of true sportsmanship from Turkey. Galatasaray's under-14s.
Oh, the under-14s, great.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Pen or no pen?
No, he's fallen over the kid, yeah.
Ref said it was a pen.
Yeah, well, ref's made a mistake. And even at 14, they'll argue, won't they?
Well, of course.
But what was fantastic about this situation, he knew himself. He's the club, he's the team captain.
Mm-hmm.
So he feels, obviously, even at 14, he has a responsibility for fair play.
So, Robbie Fowler, this is what you should have done.
So what he did was, thank you very much. We don't deserve a goal. We don't even deserve an attempt, because he might not have scored. So what he's done is he's tucked it wide. He's got a few low fives from his opponent players. Really, really special. Well done, son. Well done.
You're watching Keys and Grey on Be In Sports, talking to the world, I always say, from our international broadcast centre here in Qatar, live on Twitter, and there's a podcast available now as well. We're talking concussion after the break. Once again, a major talking point, and quite right too. So this, Andy, on the Monday morning after the last domestic weekend.
Yeah.
David Ospina, Arsenal's keeper on loan with Napoli, collapsed during a match against Udinese, was allowed to continue, later that same evening collapsed at home. Now that concerned me, and I thought, well, we'll talk about that in a fortnight. Then came this, midweek during the international break, just that, no more, nothing else, from the Telegraph, Fabian Schär. And we're all chuckling because you guys that have had concussion on a football pitch.
I've never had concussion.
And have left a pitch and spoken to television cameras and said, I scored but couldn't remember. Not funny.
It's not funny.
That did get traction to the point whereby it's become a very serious issue once again, because on the back of that came this.
Mm.
Dereliction of duty, it was described as by the Swiss, leaving Fabian Schär on the pitch. And if you're Newcastle United, whose employers...
Yeah. Listen, he lost consciousness. And that's the big worry about
protocol,
that.
I think, is match stops for 3 minutes. I'm told by those who know more about this than we do, Dr. Ian McGuinness, who was the doctor of
Qatari team. Yeah.
Buram Kouaki, at 2-0 in that final.
Yeah, the centre-back.
Against Japan, big centre-back, six clean sheets prior to. The doctor got to take him off.
I know.
Now, can you imagine the responsibility there? We're two up in a final.
Uh-huh.
They score.
Yeah.
You really start to concern yourself, should I left him there? No, because the player's well-being... Mm. But more people have got to understand that. Can you imagine the pressure the doc would have been under had that gone wrong for Qatar?
Oh, a huge amount of pressure. They're under pressure even in normal games. I mean, but obviously the bigger the game becomes and the more pressure the medics are under to say, listen, sorry. And in this case, Schär should definitely not have stayed on the pitch. He lost consciousness. Now, I don't know how the difficulty with Ospina.
I don't know.
Who takes
I don't
a
know
knock
the
in the head.
Well,
what I'm saying is if someone loses consciousness, surely he has to come off the football pitch.
Well, you would have thought so, but I would have thought with taking a bump.
But if you take a bump
the
in the head, that see, I don't know. Listen, I'm just a layman. It would be more difficult for me. But if I took a bump in the head, and I did when I played football, I never lost consciousness ever when I played football, ever, ever.
But that's not the point. The second bump that follows is the one that can inflict the damage.
I know that.
You have to leave the pitch and be assessed correctly. And I think we need to move to a place perhaps even where you take a player off and replace for 10 minutes until you're sure.
Can you imagine Ospina, though, with the medics there? The last thing David Ospina wants to do...
Not his decision.
No, but the last thing he wants to do when he's awake and he's not lost consciousness is go off the football
pitch. Not his decision.
I know, but that's the way it is. That's how hard it is.
And we've got to understand that it is a difficult job, like the doc with the Qatari team.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hugely responsible job,
it is.
But we've got to support them. Okay, let's discuss further with our next guest, who is Luke Griggs, the Director of Communications at Headway. Peter McCabe, who's the chief exec, I think, Luke, is he not? Used that phrase first, dereliction of duty by the Swiss. So explain more, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is. And unfortunately, as you guys have been discussing, this is not an isolated incident. You just have to look back to the World Cup, and there were several incidents of this nature. And it's as if football just can't seem to grasp the seriousness of this issue and how dangerous it can be to not take concussion seriously. So we do think that it was a dereliction of duty, because the first and foremost, yes, football teams want to win. And of course, that in every sport you want to win, and that desire and the passion is obvious. But surely a player's well-being and safety has got to come first.
Yeah.
And it's just not happening. And time again, Headway is coming on to programmes such as yours and saying that football needs to do more to take concussion seriously. And we're just really worried. What is it going to take for football to change and take this seriously? Is it going to be a tragedy? I just don't know.
Look, is there a protocol in football regarding head injuries? And if there isn't, should there be?
There is, and there's two questions to that. One, is it robust enough? And our answer to that would be no. And secondly, what's the point of a protocol if it's not going to be enacted? And this is the problem we have with football. You know, you're talking about the protocol says that if a concussion is suspected, not diagnosed, because it's incredibly difficult to do so in that moment.
Yes.
But if it's suspected, a player should be removed from the field of play and not be allowed to continue. Now, you just have to look at these incidents with Ospina and with Schär and numerous others to know that...
Tell him you're busy, Luke. Tell him you're busy.
that was actually Peter McCabe, the chief exec. Maybe he's heard this. Should we try that one again? But, yeah, it's not, the protocol is not being followed. And it's so worrying that because people are being left on the pitch when they should be removed for their own safety... So what's the point of having a protocol if it's not being followed? But you also mentioned there, Andy, about the 3 minutes. And that's not long enough, particularly when it's being done and assessed on the field of play with 50, 60,000 people watching and wanting the game to get back on. You've got to remove players from the field of play and give them time to properly assess them in a decent environment without the fans screaming. We do also think that the protocol should be extended to have concussion subs, like they do in rugby, and it works perfectly well there, so there's no reason why it can't work in football. And we also think that we're talking about taking the pressure off the medics, the team doctors. And we've spoken to medics in the Premier League and in the Football League who say that they do fear for their jobs. If they make the wrong call, take the star player
absolutely.
off. They're in trouble. Yeah. So it's got to be an independent doctor who makes those calls.
I can't think of a better example than their own Dr. McGuinness, Luke, as I was just saying
The
Asian Cup final recently. Mm. I mean, what a responsibility. It's too great for them. But, you know, somewhere in the depths of my mind, when Andy and I first started talking about this, what, 8 years ago when we were on the radio, I remember having a conversation with the chief medic at UEFA who was almost lacking of interest in this subject. Are they better? Have they moved to you and your thinking? Or are we still split as far as the medics are concerned?
I think it's really important here that we at Headway are not having a go at the medics. They have an incredibly difficult job, particularly, you know, concussion is really hard to diagnose at the best of times. Their symptoms can be hidden. They can be delayed in their presentation, so it may not be till 12, 24 hours later than actually that it really becomes obvious. And it requires the player to actually have some honesty and say, look, I don't really quite feel quite good here. I feel nauseous. I feel my vision's blurred. All these things that are really hard for a medic to actually pick up on. So it's not their fault in a very difficult environment. It's got to be led by the authorities. And the silence at the moment from UEFA regarding the Fabian Schär incident is deafening. They've got to come out and say that this was wrong. Hmm. They've got to come out and say, what are they going to do about it?
Luke,
they've
sorry to interrupt. As ever, we're always chasing time here. What do you want to see football embrace?
They've got to set a proper example at the elite level and take concussion seriously. Reprimand and deal with and help associations and clubs to make this a proper priority. We cannot see incidents like this happening again, and they've got to tighten their protocols and make sure that they are fully enhanced and fully adopted by all.
We'll get there. How long will it take?
It's not because of how long it takes, I just fear what it will take.
Yes.
Will it be a tragedy or will it be somebody suing them for millions of pounds? I don't know, but something has got to change. We've got to get this, if in doubt, sit it out approach at all levels of the game.
Agreed.
Luke, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Luke.
Much appreciated. Director of Marine Communications, Luke Griggs at Headway, who do, of course, a lot of research into the issues that we were just discussing.
The kind of people we should be listening to.
Correct. Which is why we're not.
Yeah, probably.
John Cross joins us after the break. Of course, what else? First thing we shall be discussing with John, and we'll hear from him the other side of the break. The new manager of Manchester United is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. No surprise there, eh?
This has been my, of course, ultimate dream all the time. Maybe a naive dream, but I've always had that dream in my mind to have this responsibility for this huge, fantastic family of a football club. And I'm so honoured and privileged to be given this fantastic responsibility to lead us forward. I want us to lift trophies, but I can't wait to get onto the job, onto the challenge of improving this great bunch of players, because it's a squad full of potential that I work with them for 3 months, or we have worked for 3 months as a staff, as a group, and the improvement is there to be seen. And we know there's so much more to come from them. We can see so much more improvement because we see them every single day in training. The attitude has been fantastic. But we know we've got a way to go. But lifting a trophy, I'm sure we'll be successful. The players who get complacent, they never last at this club anyway. Managers, I'm the same. I can't be complacent and now rest on, well, I've got a job. That's not me. We're looking forward. We've got to work harder. I've got some targets. I would want a Man United team that's one of the hardest working teams in the league, the fittest teams in the league, and that then will bring results. So I think the players know my expectations on the future.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer confirmed, of course, as the manager of Manchester United just yesterday, Thursday. A decision described by Simon Jordan, the former Crystal Palace owner and chairman, as an unavoidable mistake.
Mm. Do you know what he means?
I do know what he means.
I know what he means. I heard it this morning on radio. I was listening back in the UK, Richard, and I thought that's a very interesting way to describe it. But I wonder if everybody thinks like that.
Let's find out what John Cross is thinking. A man who only... Oh, my goodness.
Oh, goodness me. That's his, was that John's boy? John, that John Jr., where's your dad?
I've taken the grey hair off.
You've taken all the hair off.
I'm not sure whether I've lost the 10 years. That's the problem.
I think this show's been pushed back after the watershed now.
Well...
I went to a barber's in Montenegro and I saw basically said short back and sides, which obviously translated not particularly well.
Yes, I made the same mistake once in Poland, John.
Poland, I remember that.
They're not necessarily...
And you never went back.
No,
I think Keezy went in, John, and said, could you just take a quarter of an inch off? And he actually just left a quarter of an inch on.
Funny enough, I think that's actually what happened with me.
Anyway... Back to the football.
This is almost impossible to do now. Right. Let me do that again. So let me just put that to a version of John Cross. John. Right. What are we to make? What does the United faithful make of the appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Well, I tell you what, I do understand, I hate to agree with Simon Jordan, but because I think it's a bit of a loudmouth, I don't always respect his views, we've got a bit of history. But basically, I tend to think that he's probably got a point on this one. But we also have to respect the view that if they'd done anything else, that there would have been a revolt from the Man United faithful as well. Because they're just basically bought into Solskjaer. They really have. He's done a fantastic job. And I think he's been absolutely sensational, really. He's got results. He's got them playing well and with style. But I do think, looking back in December, they had absolutely no intention of giving him this job. And that's the key. And I think that basically what he's done subsequently to that is the way that he's conducted himself, the way he's got the team playing, the way that he's got the fans back on side. I think that he's taken this, 4 months to really persuade the United hierarchy and the fans to give him the job.
John, why didn't they wait? I mean, they stated when he got the job, we're going to leave it and we're going to make a decision at the end of the season. Now, why didn't they buy themselves some time and give them the opportunity to change if they wanted?
Well, it's funny, Andy, isn't it? Because I do think that basically they've taken this decision on the back of two defeats. And there were big defeats, really, because they're obviously a defeat at Arsenal and also going out of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So both serious setbacks in their quest to finish top four and also win a trophy this season. And I have to say, I think that sort of signifies to me that basically, yes, they were a setback, but actually they'd already probably taken that decision already to give him that job. I think you're right. I would have left it until the end of the season. I thought that it was right to do that because, I mean, you know, Matt Dickinson sort of in the Times this morning writing about really it's a good appointment, but it's not one that will strike fear into... They're European heavyweight opponents.
Agreed.
And I take that on board because appointing a Pochettino, for example, would have done exactly that. It would have left everyone, I think, in European football convinced of the fact that basically Man United are back. They've got the ambition to return to the very top and are determined to sort of stay there and be again.
Might it be, John, as well, that whoever they had in mind, they felt that they might not get...
Well, I think it's Pochettino, without doubt. And I agree with that. I think that from the first instance, I think that was Pochettino. And I think they always felt that it would be a battle to get him. And I think that basically you could talk about Allegri. I think Allegri might have been a sort of a contender. He certainly flirted with English clubs in the past, no doubt about that. But I just think that basically Pochettino would have been their choice because he is a fantastic manager. I know we will always have this debate about sort of trophies and whether he needs to win trophies and so on, but he's got the style of play, he brings through youngsters, he fits the United DNA, even though he obviously hasn't got that a legendary status that Solskjaer has from within the club. But Solskjaer, I just think you've now got to give him this chance. I mean, so much is said about sort of Solskjaer, about sort of bringing back the smiles, almost to a patronising level. Mm. And I think Solskjaer is, without doubt, better than that. But I do think that it's going to be a tough ask because this squad needs an overhaul. You know, they probably need a right back, a new centre back, definitely a sort of a box to box midfielder with something else up front. So it needs major investment. And I think even though it's Man United, even though that's sort of the glamour of the club, if they're not in the Champions League next season, and that's still a big ask, then it's still going to be difficult, I think, as every club finds, if you're not in the Champions League, to attract the very best player.
Not that I'm one to pass an opinion, John, that's not my job. I'm a policeman, I direct traffic.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
if you want my opinion on this, I do think they've been forced into something that they will ultimately regret. I'm with Ibra. I think to have broken the circle of Ferguson was a good, well, the right idea, referring back to we saw a cutting at the top of the show, John, that he passed that opinion this week. I still think the class of 92 have got that club where they want it, and the next one that they'll target will be chief exec, and that'll be Gary Neville.
We shall see.
And you know, I think Pochettino would have struck fear into the hearts, not just of Europe, but certainly five of the other big six in this country. Anyway, he's got it, so we wish him well. Football Association are changing their name, John. Explain, please.
This is an interesting one, this. I think for a long time, and Martin Glenn said so actually when he first arrived in the job, that basically by calling ourselves the Football Association, we think of ourselves as the only football association, the founding fathers of football, which of course English football was. We invented the game. But that comes across, I think, in many circles as being arrogant.
Yes.
And basically making us sound as if we think we're more important than everyone else, which I have to say is a bit of an English trait. And to be honest, if they are going to push for, and I think they will, for 2030 and making a new renewed bid for that World Cup, they have to get more people back on side. And I think it will be perceived as quite a good thing. But I have to say, a lot of people immediately sort of replied to me on social media or whatever when I posted this story yesterday, is that basically, haven't they got more important things to do?
Well, no, John, sorry to interrupt. It isn't more important. When you step outside the borders of the UK, you understand how right they are. There is nothing winds up a foreign football dignitary more than meeting someone, a pompous English suit from the FA. You know, you are from the English FA. I might be from the, I don't know, the Australian FA, the Scottish FA. It's a bit like the Open in golf.
Yeah, and listen,
the British Open, most people would refer to it as.
Absolutely, and someone pointed out to me about sort of the tennis. You know, I think tennis is sort of doing a similar thing, but in reverse. So look, I think also we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that basically, I think in the summer we were sort of laughing at ourselves about footballs coming home, for example. It was a bit of self-depreciating humour. You've got to go back to Euro 96. But a lot of people, because the English are perceived as being so arrogant, that basically they immediately thought, they think they're the most important country at the World Cup and football is coming home. That's their perception. We were laughing at ourselves. Honestly, we really were,
John. I think one or two of you got a bit carried away in the summer. I don't think we were, and it certainly was not perceived like that elsewhere.
We'll kindly agree to disagree on that, because I didn't think that football was coming home just because basically we were going to win it, because I never thought England would, even when they reached the World Cup semi-final, because even if they got past the semi-final, they'd have to face France, a much better team. But I think that basically that's the perception from abroad, is that basically we think we are the be-all and end-all of football globally, which is just wrong. So listen, I think a lot of English people in England will think, is this the right move? I think globally, I think it is the right move.
100%.
Yeah.
A brief one, John. I didn't intend to, but as you talk, it reminds me of something I've wanted to bring up. Martin, I'm not a football man, Glenn, leaving the FA. Sean Harvey, leaving the English Football League. Richard Scudamore, gone, apparently. Rudderless, I would suggest English football is. Why can't they fill these positions?
Well, Gordon Taylor as well.
Gordon Taylor, hugely
influential football man. Well, I have to say, I think the Premier League is an interesting one, simply because I think that basically that one, I think, is about the TV deals, and I think they're looking for a chief executive who would be a master of TV. And I'm not sure that basically that sort of kind of when you go into that, And I think the TV people that have turned it down so far have suddenly realised it's a lot more than just, you know, negotiating the next TV deals. They have to get that right. And I think that's obviously been the stick in the, you know, sort of the, you know, that's been the sort of fly in the ointment so far for that one. I think the FA will appoint fairly soon, I think within the next month or so, and they'll make that sort of announcement. But I do think, you know, it does leave you thinking that football is such a huge thing. It's far more than just sport in this, you know, it's in this country. It's religion, it rules, it sort of kind of, you know, it's reflective of society. Mm. And that's why I don't think that you can ever sort of do what the Premier League initially set out to do and appoint someone who's just a specialist in TV, for example. You have to have an all-encompassing leader. You have to have someone that's in touch with what's going on. That was the accusation, of course, levelled against Gordon Taylor, that he had lost touch, you know, with football and indeed his members. Mm. And I think that basically, therefore, you are looking at a very, very small, but extremely talented pool of people who will then suddenly be thrust into from whatever industry that they're currently in, and hopefully they will be a football fan and, you know, an expert on football, into a very high-profile job in which you'll take a lot of public criticism and indeed flack.
John, which airport are you in, my friend?
Oh, I'm in Europe. I'm in Europe. So okay. It's working.
Working.
Well, we're grateful to you for joining us.
On a Champions League thing.
Right. Okay. Don't want to worry you, but you just missed the last call for John Cross.
Yeah, so last call. Just behind you.
They just loaded my bags on. I missed it. Yeah.
Just before you go, so why did you fall out with Simon Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, it dates back.
We will save it, John. We don't need to miss that plane.
Thanks, John.
John Cross, chief football writer.
A chunk of his book to me.
Chief football writer at the Daily Mirror.
Safe flight, John.
In short, John Cross, top man. Thank you again, John. So when we come back, often on this programme, Andy, we'll start a story, but perhaps on others, shall we say, they'll start a story and forget all about it. Here, not so. If we start a story, we finish the story. How about Guyana?
Yes,
Michael Johnson's Guyana. Mm-hmm. Off to the Gold Cup. We told you, new Qatar, they found gas, oil and a future on the football pitch recently. We shall discuss further and explain more next. Come on, the Jags. Hey, we did do this, a month back. Michael Johnson, the manager of Guyana.
Looking to make history.
Yes, on the pitch there's a revolution going on. They've recently found copious amounts of gas and oil. That's why we're calling them New Qatar. They can go and mix it with the big boys now. But what they had to do was win against Belize to make sure that they went to the Gold Cup for the first time in their history. Derby, of course, former Birmingham and Derby County midfield player. As you can see, an ambassador at the Rams. And he joins us next.
Nice.
Michael, congratulations. Michael.
Thanks a lot, man. How are you?
We're good. That looks like a very nice golf course here behind you. Is that right?
I'm actually in Buckinghamshire. With AJ and Chris Casper and some of the boys playing golf.
Nice one.
The Buckinghamshire Golf Course, Michael. Yes, very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Absolute tremendous day.
Now, are you playing as well as your team played, Michael?
Nah, nowhere near. Here we come. There's somebody coming to join it. Can you...
Yes, put him on. Oh, no. Please don't tell me. Oh, no, he got a phone call, obviously. We're back. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, can you see us, Keezy?
We can hear you, Michael, at the moment. We're looking to yes, we've got you.
Keezy, how you doing, mate?
We're very good, thank you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good.
Can't see him.
You can't see, so tell him.
We can't see him, Michael.
No, I know. Hopefully you'll be able to see me in a couple of minutes. Yes?
Michael, talk to us about the football. The biggest night.
The football's been great, mate.
In history, I would suggest.
It's been great. We've qualified for the first time ever, which is fantastic news. Can't believe that the country's going to the Gold Cup now, and it's in absolutely hysteria. Everybody's still partying, I believe, five to the event.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's a wonderful achievement. We were fingers crossed, of course. Did it get a little tighter than you thought it might?
Yeah, down the stretch it did, as you know. Flipping out, they were lumping balls at the last minute. You know, it just kept coming into that. But our defence stood really well. It did really well. It got a little bit nervous when Neil Downs missed the second penalty as well. He scored the first one. And then the second one, the goalkeeper saved it. But we got over the line. We got over the line.
That's all that matters, Michael.
What sort of future is there for Guyana?
Well, now, obviously, there's a lot of emphasis now on developing, obviously using the oil money. This is why qualification was so fundamental, because now it gives it a little bit more purpose. A lot of the kids now want to play football. A lot of the kids for the very first time will see their heroes on the international stage. And with that, obviously, there will health and well-being, because kids are playing football, less crime, but also Guyana just actually being on the world map, which is it's a pivotal time, as you know, given the oil. So this is absolutely perfect timing for Guyana as a brand to explode.
And what about, what about Michael Johnson? 40 applications, Michael, for jobs as a manager, rejected. I think amongst the 40, some didn't even bother to reply. Mm. What now for you? Is this a statement?
I think it's a statement for me, and not only just me, but also the staff. I've got a tremendous staff with me, Paul Williams, Taff Raymond, Adi Bankole, who's QPR goalkeeping coach. So for all of us, it's shown that, you know, we can actually do something special, leading not only a club but a country into, you know, a tournament for the very first time. So I think the Guyanese future is going to be interesting. But I also think for myself and the staff as well, it's given us the opportunity to showcase our talents.
Great. So we'll give Big Willow my best. Blue legend.
Just one, Michael. Does that mean you're obviously backing forward from Guyana with the qualification? Yeah. You're going to have to spend more time there now?
Yes. And it starts in June, obviously, with the qualification. So I'm going to be going back and forth to organise the camp.
Yeah.
Get ready for June the 15th. And then obviously after that, you go back into the next Nation League's tournament. So there's going to be a lot of to and fro. Back and forth when you consider that you've got to pass through Barbados and Trinidad and stop there for 8 hours.
Well, if you need any help at any time, Michael, do let us know. Yeah. We're both available. And secondly, as Guyana go to the Gold Cup, Derby County go to the Dogs. Do you want to talk about that?
Hey, don't give up on Derby. They were going to come with a late run into the playoffs.
Exactly. Exactly. And well, by the way, that next shot for you is a 5-iron.
Enjoy the golf, Michael. I think we just got there.
Just got there.
What a great lad. And all those rejections.
It's amazing.
And
40.
A wonderful way to make a statement. Isn't it? So, by the way, actually, I can do
it. I can coach, yeah.
Right, talking for the first time since his move to Monaco, Cesc Fabregas, to be in sports, of course. And right at the top of his agenda, what an admirer he turns out to be of Kylian Mbappe.
Listen, every time I watch Mbappe, I imagine myself behind him in every situation, and I can see he's always on the move. He's always with his body on the right angle to make the run to get away from the defender. And I just try to analyze it and see it from the TV. Like when the midfielder has the ball, he's always looking to go on the space. And I just imagine. I speak with friends sometimes. I said, "Oh my God, if I had played with this guy, I think I would have enjoyed a lot." So yeah, he's got plenty of talent.
Does that mean he can reach the level of a Messi or a Ronaldo?
It's very difficult to say. I mean, he'll have to prove it with numbers, with trophies. What these guys have done in the game the last 14, 15 years is unbelievable. I mean, for me, it's difficult to imagine that we will see anything like that, especially with Leo, because the talent that he's got. I know I play with him since we are 13 years old, and I've never seen anything like this. So for me, it's difficult to imagine or to believe that there will be another Lionel Messi. Cristiano mentality is sensational. What he's doing in the Messi era is fantastic, because his ambition to keep growing, he's great, the personality. But I believe I can see something in Mbappé similar, you know, in the early stages that we are. He's got the personality, you know, sometimes even the arrogance, you know, to to have a go at everyone, at any defender, you know, to try new things. He's not afraid, so that's already a fantastic thing to have.
What are obviously Monaco's immediate objectives are to keep pulling away from the relegation zone. Do you think Leonardo Jardim is the man to do it? He's done it before. How have you found working with him so far?
He's a tactician, you know, a very, very good man. And in a way, yeah, I don't like to compare, but the methodology that he uses reminds me a little bit of Mourinho. And yeah, I enjoyed a lot, as everyone knows, with Jose, and I am doing it as well with Jardim.
Cesc Fabregas talking with beIN Sports. Matt Spira, of course, next up for Monaco, it's Caen and Paris Saint-Germain. I mean, I keep saying it week on week. Really had that title won in August, didn't they? But officially, they can't be far away now.
No, can't be far.
Those are
can't
the two German-French yeah. football matches that we've got this weekend. Tim Cahill's career all over. The Aussie legend has decided he's retiring, Andy.
Wow, okay.
Next stop
we wish
will be
well, then.
Here on beIN yeah. Sports. And apologies, sure official apologies on behalf of beIN Sports, if you are the parents of young children, that we didn't wish to frighten them in the manner that we did earlier when we spoke with John Cross.
Yes. So apologies. Apologies.
Got that out of the way.
You can blank them out.
John Collins.
Podcast.
John Collins. John Arnorisa with us through the weekend. All of the English Premier League games live. Hope you've enjoyed the show. See you through Saturday, Sunday.